James Cook joins us now. He's apprenticeship manager at Madison College. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for inviting me.
Well, what is the goal of Wisconsin's apprenticeship program?
Simply put, it's the best way for employers to train workers in select fields and professions, mainly in three areas: construction, manufacturing, and service trades.
Now, I've heard over the years that our program in the state is a bit of a model for other states around the country. Is that true?
Absolutely. It was actually the first system established, modern apprenticeship. Apprenticeship has been around for hundreds of years, but about 100 years ago, right around this time, Wisconsin modernized it and created a model that the rest of the states and the federal government eventually copied almost word for word.
Well, let's talk about this from a perspective of a worker. If I'm looking to be an apprentice, how do I start and what do I go through?
Well, traditionally, there is preparation in a variety of ways. One is coursework. A lot of the trades that use apprenticeship, a lot of the employers that use apprenticeship, they require the applicants to have background in basic, education courses like math is a common one. Reading is also, it didn't used to be, but it seems to be more important than ever. In addition to that, they're looking for people who have some familiarity with that field. And if they have hands-on experience as an entry-level worker within that field, that's even better. It makes them more appealing as an applicant.
And then on the employer's side, what do they get out of participating in the apprenticeship program?
Well, simply put, at the end of that apprenticeship training, that worker is going to be the highest skilled, highest motivated, and most loyal employee that they have working for them. It's very high investment, but it's also high yield or the productivity is the key here, is that those workers, they know the most about that field, both in terms of depth and breadth.
And Jim, I mentioned right up front, you manage the apprenticeship program at Madison College. What is the role of the state's technical colleges in the apprenticeship system?
A little bit of history again. The apprenticeship system was enacted by the legislature in June of 1911, and they, as part of that modernization I was talking about, before that, all the training was simply on the job. And what Wisconsin did was they did two things. One is they modernized the contract system so that the contracts were more easily enforced, but they also added classroom instruction. And when they did that, they sort of sat back very proud of themselves, and they realized, where are they going to go to school? Can't go back to high school. They actually tried the university system at one time very briefly and realized that wasn't working either. They had to create an entire new school system, and that's what they did. They created the technical college system 6 months after the apprenticeship law was passed. So by law, by statute, Chapter 38, technical colleges are required to provide instruction to apprentices.
I didn't know that. So the apprenticeship program was part of the impetus for us having technical colleges in the state.
Yes, and we were also the first in the nation to do that. We were the first state to pass a publicly taxed, with its own legal, taxing powers and its own board, between secondary ed and a university system.
And then I mentioned a Wisconsin State Journal article. You were quoted in there. That's how we found out about what's been going on lately with apprenticeship, making the case there that there's been a growing interest, especially in the economic recovery. Is that true? And how big is the program getting now?
Yeah, basically what's happening is the only other time in really the last 100 years we've had this situation is World War II. We are facing a massive skilled labor shortage in this country and in the state, and the likes we haven't seen since the war. And so they're gearing up. They've seen it coming. It's really because of one real thing happening, and that's the retirement of the baby boom generation, largest generation in history. So the employers are looking for a way to match that need, but to do it in a way that doesn't sacrifice the training. They're going to do it in all ways. They're not going to just use apprenticeship. They'll hire out of the two-year degree programs, out of the technical colleges. They'll hire people right off the street even and begin them in a variety of training methods. Apprenticeship is not cheap. It's actually a very select type of training that employers use because it is so expensive.
We've talked on the show about a change in the nature of things like manufacturing jobs and a lot of other sectors where maybe once upon a time you'd have a good shot at getting a good job straight out of high school. Now there's a lot more technology, a lot more skills and training involved. Has that changed the nature of how apprenticeship works?
Yes, actually, that is the biggest change. The biggest change in apprenticeship is that there's been, let me put it this way, when apprenticeship started, they had around 400 hours of instruction total in the classroom. Most of the training is still on the job. It's 80 to 90%, but more and more of those hours of the total training are being done in the classroom because these trades are changing so much with technological advancements.
Are you seeing more companies knocking on your door or sending you an email probably saying, Jim, we need skilled workers. How do we get on board with this thing? Is there more interest from the employers themselves?
Absolutely. I go out a lot to gatherings, organizations, council, the manufacturers, the construction employers. They're really trying to meet this head on, this challenge head on. They've really been preparing for it for 5 years. In a way, the recession has actually, in a way, muted this. If we weren't in recession, we'd be in really big trouble. But the employers have seen this, and when I go out to these gatherings, yes, they're approaching me all the time. What, you know, how does the apprenticeship program work? Many of them used to use apprenticeship. It's almost an interesting generational turnover happening here. A lot of the young people who are coming in leadership roles, they don't understand apprenticeship because their forebears, you know, stopped using it about 20 years ago, but it's coming up, you know, in a big way now.
You mentioned that apprenticeship can be fairly costly. Where is the money coming from? The state, the colleges, the employers, or some combo of all of those?
It's a combination, but the main burden still, rests on the employer. The employer trains because most of the training is actually on the job, and they're under the supervision of a skilled worker who has to take time out from their own work, their own workstation or their own work site at a construction site, and train the apprentice. And that's the true cost of apprenticeship is that.
If I'm an apprentice, am I paying tuition, or am I paying tuition just for the classroom part but getting paid while I'm on the job?
And you got it. They pay tuition to the college if they're attending the college. Some trades and employers have their own training centers, but they're quite often paying at those as well. But quite often the employers will reimburse those costs. That's how interested they are in attracting people to these programs, young people, is they'll tell them, you pay the tuition, but we'll reimburse you if you pass the course.
I'm going to guess that someone out there is listening right now thinking either, hey, I'm a young worker, I want to get on board and be an apprentice, or I'm an employer, this sounds like exactly what I need. What's the first step on either end to reach out and get involved with the state's apprenticeship program?
Well, the state apprenticeship system is actually run by the state government. There is a Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards, and they have field representatives in every district. There's about a dozen around the state. We work with two or three in the Madison area. There's also our office at the college, and they are welcome to call. I don't know if I should give the number.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, our number is 608-246-5299. And we would direct them based on what their field that they're interested in. We'd direct them to the right individuals to apply to.
Thinking about the future of apprenticeship in Wisconsin, what kind of opportunities, what kind of challenges do you see laying ahead for us?
It's really meeting the needs. It's going to be looking in places where employers and programs have not had to look before. And in a way, it's actually that's going to present opportunities to groups. It's no secret that some of these trades have not been inclusive for women or for people of color. That's going to change. That's actually the good news, is that these shortages, the employers are going to be looking in corners where they haven't traditionally looked.
Jim, thanks a lot for coming up here and joining us today.
Thank you again for inviting me.
That's James Cook. He's apprenticeship manager at Madison College.
Coming up, we explore the sweet and spicy world of mustard with the director of Wisconsin's Mustard Museum.
First, it's our winter membership drive. Some good news. We are just 5 pledges from our goal this hour. Thank you so much to everyone who's already pledged this hour. Listeners like you are a huge part of WPR's income. Your gift takes just a few minutes of your time, and it keeps this program going strong. Invest in future listening with a pledge at WPR.org or with a call at 888-202-2552.
And again, we are looking for five more pledges to reach our goal in the next 5 minutes of this hour. Your pledge is so important, and these hourly goals are important because they help keep us on track and make sure that the drives keep going strong. Make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio keeps going strong. Make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just dug into an important part of the state's economy, labor system, educational system, talking about apprenticeship earlier in the hour. We heard about sugar and how to kick the sugar habit in our diets with Dr. Robert Lustig. And a quick reminder, just for the rest of the hour, with a pledge of $10 or more, $10 a month or more, $120 total, ask for your copy of Dr. Lustig's Fat Chance Cookbook. It's full of awesome recipes. We've got one linked on our Facebook page, by the way, as a little taste. There are zillions more in the book. Yours for a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That recipe on Facebook, by the way, for poached eggs, polenta, and greens. So lots of yummy stuff going on there. And you can choose the Fat Chance Cookbook as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more a month. It's the best-selling cookbook talking about kicking sugar out of your diet and also those refined carbs that raise insulin. And Dr. Lustig thinks they bring on a host of diseases and ailments that we can avoid if we just eat properly. Recipes all in that cookbook. So make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Alyssa Block with NPR News. We've thought long and hard about how to support the work we do here in public radio, and it's really quite a challenge. Our stations need support, our network needs support, but we really don't like to interrupt our programs to ask you. We like to keep the flow of information coming. Well, recently, we've come up with a new way to pay for public radio, and our solution is found in two words, the sustainer. The sustainer is a person who pays for public radio automatically each month. And as more people become sustainers, the need for on-air fundraising days like this goes down. More programming, less fundraising. It's a win-win proposition. So I ask you, please become a sustainer today. And thanks.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob and Veronica, your Central Time hosts here, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our winter membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Pledge drives are an important time that we get to hear from new members, and we're a new show, so it's always exciting to hear from new members as well. What about you? Are you a new member yet?
If you aren't, take that first step right now by making a gift of any amount. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make that first contribution, maybe $5 a month. When you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home, in the car, at the office, whether you're concentrating or you're relaxing.
Hey, we're your buddies. You count on us for great conversation, and we're buddies who bring you accurate news, great music, and intelligent conversation. We, in turn, count on you to support what you hear. That's how public radio works. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, the clock is running down. There's just a few minutes left in this hour, and we are still looking for five more pledges in that time. Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know we can meet this goal with your help, with your pledge. And remember, just this is your last chance now to get the Fat Chance Cookbook by Robert Lustig, Dr. Robert Lustig. Great, tasty recipes. I'm really excited to try a lot of these myself, ways to help get sugar out of our diet and yet still have healthy and nutritious food. Easy to cook, all tested, all cooked by a high schooler to make sure it wasn't really, you know, that fancy, complicated stuff. Ask for your own copy of the Fat Chance Cookbook when you pledge $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
Now, these recipes were vetted by a high schooler. They were created by an excellent chef who wanted to make things that would taste good and still be simple. And meet all of Dr. Lustig's dietary recommendations. It's all in the Fat Chance Cookbook for you. $120 is the pledge amount for that thank you gift. Shakes down to $10 a month. And again, looking for five more pledges at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to support the programs that you count on.
Brian from Toma called. He says, I enjoy listening to WPR and I've been meaning to donate for a while. No better time than the present, Brian says. Well, now, how about you? No better time than the present to make your pledge to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're already a sustaining member, we thank you. If you're not, what about becoming one right now? It's easy to set up the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's convenient for you and it provides reliable funding for WPR.
So close to our goal this hour, you could put us over the top. And remember, keep pledging through the news. Still a chance to get your copy of Dr. Lustig's Fat Chance Cookbook. Great recipes, great ways to cut the sugar, avoid diabetes, other metabolic diseases with your pledge of $10 a month or more. Make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Polenta corn cakes with eggs. There is carrot cake. There is vegetarian bean chili. There is a recipe for ranch dressing. It's all in the Fat Chance Cookbook, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.